Hey there, web or podcast listeners. I'm Vermont Edition producer Matthew Smith, and I wanted to let you know that this podcast has been edited to make it a little bit shorter and a little bit sweeter. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Here is Speaker of the House Paul Ryan speaking yesterday in front of the White House, where Republican leaders in Congress met with President Trump and other elected officials to celebrate the passage of the new tax overhaul.
It is really simple. The message to the hardworking taxpayers of America is your tax relief is on its way. This is the kind of tax reform and tax cuts that get our economy growing to reach its potential. This gets us better wages, bigger paychecks, a simpler tax system. This gets the American economy competitive in the global economy.
The new tax law is awaiting the president's signature before it becomes law, but President Trump has promised to sign it before Christmas. Now, Speaker Ryan says better days await us with this tax bill, but what does this overhaul of our tax system actually mean for Vermont taxpayers? Can we expect better wages or bigger paychecks in the Green Mountain State? Will we really see a simpler tax code when we file our taxes in the future? We're going to look at what the tax bill means for Vermonters and Vermont institutions today, and I'm joined now by Richard Wolfish. He's a CPA and tax partner at Gallagher Flynn & Company in Burlington. He works with businesses and individuals focusing on tax planning, and he has a background in international taxation. Rick's firm, Gallagher Flynn & Company, is a VPR underwriter. Rick, it's a pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you for having me. And by the way, just a little updated information. Although the president would like to sign the bill by Christmas, it now looks like there may be some delays and it might not be signed until January.
Because?
Has to do with funding, Medicare, Social Security. I think it's probably the different parties playing politics, because I know he would like to sign it as soon as possible. The effective dates will be the same. It won't be any different. But I don't think he's going to have a big signing party until January.
So it's not going to be under the tree on December 25th.
Right.
Let me introduce our other guest here as well. Kai Samsom is the commissioner of the Vermont Department of Taxes, and he spent a decade working at the state's Department of Financial Regulation, also a CPA, we should say. Kai, it's nice to have you on the program.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
All right. So it's not signed yet, but for real, we have a bill. I mean, this went back and forth and back and forth, and then the House voted, and then the Senate voted, and then the House still had to do another vote. And, you know, it's like been this tense thing for so long, but we actually really and truly have a bill just awaiting the signature. I assume both of you have read all 500 pages plus of this bill. Rick, you actually have?
Yeah, I was such a tax nerd. I spent Sunday reading the 500 plus pages.
You must be a fast reader, 500 pages in one day.
Riveting.
Kai, have you read it all?
No comment.
What's your biggest takeaway, Rick, so far, or biggest, not surprise, but you know, what's the overview, if you had to give us the bullet point of what this tax bill does?
It's massive. It is. Nobody's going to be filing their tax return on a postcard, whether it's the international or domestic business provisions. The foreign provisions are almost 25% of the bill. It is massive. As you mentioned, it's over 500 pages. Every single page is a pertinent tax law change. So I guess that's my biggest takeaway. I don't really know. I know everyone wants to know how it affects me, and we'll be discussing that in this hour. But when you look at a reduction of deductions and a reduction of rates, each person has to look individually to see how it affects him or her.
So really, this is a Christmas present for accountants.
It is. I read one article that rich people are not the beneficiaries of this tax bill. It's CPAs.
Kai, you are a CPA, but you're also commissioner of the Vermont Department of Taxes. Does this just make more work for you because now you've got to figure out what this means for the state of Vermont and then see how the legislature reacts?
Without a doubt, my big takeaway is I agree with Rick. It is massive. Also agree that we won't see tax returns on postcards, and I question whether this is truly a simplification. At the end of the day, Vermont taxable income and one of our biggest revenue sources, personal income tax, is directly tied to federal taxable income. So for the Vermont Tax Department and for government as a whole, there are impacts all over the place, and I'm fairly confident we're going to see robust discussions from the governor's point of view and in the legislature as well about how we adapt to this in the Vermont calculation. And the other big takeaway is this is not just a tax bill. There are, you know, speaking as a government official, there are impacts to education, there are impacts to healthcare, there are impacts to nonprofits. So there's a lot to unpack here, and I think it'll be a dominant discussion in the coming months.
So, for example, other impacts are the repeal of the individual mandate in the healthcare provision. So is that something that you anticipate the legislature? I mean, there's already talk perhaps of Vermont instituting its own mandate that is, you know, separate from the federal law.
Yeah, the governor is very concerned about the impact on the uninsured rate, where there's been great progress in Vermont, and also on premiums and, you know, the fiscal health of insurance companies, frankly. So,
just an aside, Commissioner, isn't this exciting for you? I mean, isn't this why you become a commissioner? Because now you have all of this time to figure all of this nitty gritty out. I mean, this is your job.
You know, I'll admit it's exhilarating. It's busy. We're coming into the Christmas holidays. My kids are home from school. There are things I'd rather be doing, but it is exhilarating. And what is exciting, I think, for everyone is the opportunity to the potential opportunity here to rethink, at least on the Vermont end, you know, tax policy. Do we want to continue to be tied where we are to the federal calculation, or will this be, you know, prompt a discussion about departing and putting our, you know, tax policy is ultimately an expression of certain values, what you're incentivizing and disincentivizing. And again, we have a lot to sort through here. But between the governor and the legislature, we could see some different ideas about how we want to do that in Vermont.
Listeners, again, if you have a question about how this impacts you or maybe Vermont institutions, businesses, I mean, we're going to talk a little bit about charitable donations, how Vermont nonprofits could be affected. I think Vermont still has the most breweries per capita of anywhere in the country. Breweries and distilleries are affected by this tax bill. So what questions do you have? 800-639-2211 is our number. You can also pop questions on the Vermont Edition page at VPR.net. And we got a note from Joe who says, when will I see the tax cut, from the federal withholding in each paycheck or later when I do my taxes? Rick?
They will see it on withholding. I think IRS has said around February 2018 is when they'll see it. By the way, we should talk about effective dates. Pretty much the entire tax bill is effective 2018 or later. So the tax return, your 2017 federal, probably Vermont return as well.
Which you'll file by April 1st.
Which you'll file by April 15th.
Right.
April 1st would be great,
April 1st,
too.
Yeah.
Yeah. April 1st if you have a refund. Will not have any changes, with the exception, there's only maybe one or two items in the entire tax bill that are effective for 2017. So since tax rates go down in 2018, around February, IRS is going to come out with new tables with the reduction of the withholdings.
So you're not going to see a change in your first paycheck come January 5th or 6th, right?
Right.
But in February, you should start to see, and it would be retroactively applied then or not?
I'm not sure. The tax rate reductions weren't really large. It's only about 2%. So I don't know if the tables be retroactive or not.
We got a note from Alex who says, I keep hearing that state and local taxes, or SALT, got eliminated as an itemized deduction in the new law. I've also heard that up to $10,000 of property tax will be allowed as an itemized deduction. Is the $10,000 cap just for property tax deductions or any SALT deductions up to the cap? For example, could I itemize $6,000 in Vermont state taxes and $4,000 in property taxes for a combined $10,000 SALT deduction? Kai, maybe you need to just back up and explain SALT and then how it applies, because it has been confusing. The various versions of the bill had different things in them.
Right. Well, that question kind of illustrates how quickly things have changed. There was the ability to preserve up to $10,000 of property tax if you're doing itemized deduction. My read of the bill, and I'll look from a nod from Rick here, is that what's back in is state and local income taxes and property taxes, but all combined not to exceed $10,000 as an itemized deduction. The impact is going to be on the federal end here because the state of Vermont has been adding back that deduction for several years now on the Vermont calculation.
Meaning what?
Meaning if you itemize deductions and you have taken a deduction for state and local income taxes, not property, but state and local income taxes, those are added back in the Vermont in the Vermont calculation. So at least that narrow part of the bill, which is major for some people, that's already been mitigated in the Vermont calculation.
So now let me give a first tax planning opportunity here. Kai said that exactly right. You are limited to $10,000, and that was changing by the hour. So now,
and that does incorporate property and income taxes.
Correct.
It's all the state and local combined.
Is capped.
Right.
So now let's say, you know, we live in a high property tax state for our Vermont listeners, and we live in a high income tax, sorry, Kai, state.
That's open to interpretation. Yeah, go on.
Right. So let's say you're over $10,000. So most likely you will not get a tax benefit in 2018. Prepay. So there's limitations there. So let's first talk about your property tax bill. For example, I live in Williston and my last quarterly payment is due February 2018. If you pay it in February 2018 and you're over the limit, no tax benefit. Pay that by December 31st. Also, for our listeners that pay state taxes via estimated tax payments, your fourth quarter is due January 15th, 2018. If you're over the $10,000 limit, prepay that in December. Now,
let me just stop you and make sure I'm clear on what you're saying, because some Vermonters, rather than having it taken out of your paycheck by your employer every month, you actually pay quarterly. A lot of self-employed Vermonters, for example, would do that. You pay your taxes quarterly, sort of anticipating what your tax burden will be, so you don't get penalized at the end of the year come April and have to, you know, pay your whole tax bill then and get penalized.
Exactly. That would be for self-employed people. It would be for people that have a large amount of interest and dividend income, or let's say you had a wonderful year in the stock market and you made a lot of money in the stock market, you could either pay your tax April 15th, 2018, but if you pay it December, you get a tax benefit and it could save you a lot of federal taxes.
I see. So even though your bill won't come due until sometime in early 2018, you're saying pay it before December 31st, get it in under the 2017 deadline, and you won't be penalized.
You won't be penalized, and you'll save a lot of taxes by doing that.
Good. Okay. And so similarly, if you happen to pay your property tax bill quarterly, you're saying that's also a possibility?
Yep. I'm saying if you're over the $10,000 and you're not going to get a benefit in 2018, pay that in December, you'll now get a federal tax benefit on your 17-1040.
Are towns going to be ready for that? I mean, I paid a tax bill to my town for my property taxes this fall, but I don't know. I mean, I don't have a tax bill yet.
Jane, they will. No, this is only if you have a tax bill.
Right. So it's only for people.
So that's why I use Williston as an example, because I know I have my payment coupon, which is due February.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And for me in Montpelier, we have two more payments left on the current tax bill that are both in 18. And we have heard, you know, we also in the tax department have the PVR division that deals with current use and municipal issues. And we are hearing from clerks and town treasurers that they're getting these questions. Can I pay ahead of time? But again, as Rick said, that would only be on issued bills and current year taxes.
And actually, there's an interesting provision in the bill about prepaying state income tax. There's nothing wrong with paying the balance of your 2017 state income tax in December and taking a tax deduction. The bill specifically says you cannot pay your 2018 taxes and deduct it in 2017.
Got it. All right. Let's go to some of our calls. I think I've got it. Let's go to Nichol, who's calling in from Guilford. Hi, Nichol. Go right ahead.
Hi. I think part of what is bothering me about this is there's a lot of the stress, particularly like from the Republicans who are out on the circuit promoting the bill, is that it seems to focus exclusively on taxes without sort of stating the other side of the issue and what will be the cost to people as a result of this. I mean, your guests have mentioned things like Medicare and education funding, but let me mention two specific things that have seen this have come up, particularly even in the last couple of days. And the first seems to be that while all corporate tax cuts that have been established as basically permanent, it appears that virtually all of the individual breaks are things that are scheduled to time out over the next decade or so. And to my mind, I guess the most telling feature is that in, as part of this tax bill, the U.S. Wildlife Reserve will be open to drilling. Now, regardless of whatever you might feel about the reserve, I think it's hard to overstress this point, that as part of what is ostensibly a tax bill, things like the reserve has been opened. I think it's impossible not to ask what other similar items are sort of hidden under the bill, which are only going to start to emerge over the next few years.
I take your point, and let me put this to Commissioner Sampson, because you said this tax bills and the way we structure our taxes are about our values. And, you know, Nichol's pointing out that there are a lot of things in this federal bill that aren't really just about taxes. We mentioned the repeal of the individual mandate. Nichol mentions opening up drilling. Are there other things that you're seeing that as a Vermont state official either have you concerned or at least you're keeping an eye on?
I think those are the big ones that I mentioned earlier, the potential impact on, you know, public education, that the ability to pay tuition through the 529 federal plan for private and religious K-12. I think that's something the Agency of Education will consider. Charitable contributions, again, that absolutely can have a ripple effect on government services to the extent that, you know, charitable organizations and the government are frequently working in lockstep to work with vulnerable populations. The governor has made it clear to me and a group of folks across state government that we're all, you know, are looking at these disparate impacts, that his priority and what he wants to hear from us is, you know, are there areas where this, affects the vulnerable, where it causes issues with growing the economy, and those areas that we frequently hear from the administration are top concerns. So, you know, we've put together sort of a working group across state government, and that's led by Douglas Farnham, my economist and policy director, and he's making sure that there's a free information or free exchange of information between what we know as kind of the tax geeks at the table, what we've noticed, but also what the direct and indirect impacts are, you know, to education, to human services, to healthcare regulation, and but so far, that's what I've seen, the ones we've mentioned, but absolutely agree that as we unless Rick, who actually read the whole bill, can tell me what I'm missing. Those are the big ones, but I would agree there's sure to be more that bubble up, and that they may be very indirect and behavioral in nature.
Well, and a lot of those are implications of tax changes. But to Nichol's point about things that aren't really a tax change, Rick, did you see other things that are sort of hidden in the bill that maybe haven't gotten a lot of discussion yet?
I just know what I've read. For example, limiting mortgage interest deduction could make it that a family is not able to buy a home anymore. And limiting the mortgage interest deduction could affect Vermont banks and financial institutions. Certainly all areas of charitable, if you're not able to get a tax benefit for charitable giving, that might affect charitable giving.
And we're going to talk more about those. But those, again, are tax implications. Nichol's saying under the guise of a tax bill, these other things have been put in there and passed. But that's not your area of focus, Rick. But you didn't see anything else that looked sort of strikingly not tax related?
No.
All right. I'm Jane Lindholm, and this is Vermont Edition. Kai Samsom is the commissioner of the Vermont Department of Taxes. Rick Wolfish is a CPA and tax partner at Gallagher Flynn & Company in Burlington. They are with us today helping to explain and answer your questions about what the tax bill means for individual Vermonters and for Vermont businesses and institutions. Let's go to Michael, who's calling in from Bellows Falls. Hi, Michael. What's your thought or question?
Hi. I have a question about the standard deduction for elderly people. Currently, if you're over 65, you get a higher standard deduction. Has that been eliminated, or is that going to continue to be the case?
Rick?
That will be continued. So the way the new rule works is married filing joint gets a $24,000 standard deduction, and a single person gets a $12,000. I don't know what the addition for a senior citizen is. It's one addition for senior citizen and one addition if you're blind. That did survive.
Okay, so that's over and above the $12,000 or $24,000. While we're talking about age, Eric says, as a recently retired person coming up to age 65, I'm trying to navigate into Medicare. Does this law affect Medicare or the Social Security program of supplemental security income?
Nope. So Social Security income is taxable once you reach a certain level. I think it's around $25,000 of income, not counting the Social Security, but I'm not sure of that amount. Then it gets, for higher income people, it's taxed at a maximum of 85%. And the main difference is if you're deducting your insurance premiums, now under the new standard deduction, you might not get a benefit of the deduction of those insurance premiums.
While we're talking about this increase in the standard deduction, again, it's up to $12,000 for a single person. You can – the standard deduction now for people who are filing jointly is $24,000. Commissioner Sampson, this is likely to affect charitable organizations, which often rely on people who are itemizing. Is this something that you're hearing about Vermont nonprofits already being concerned about and worried about?
I haven't heard directly, but you know, we had modeled the Senate version of the bill and what it would do to the Vermont population as far as, you know, obviously assuming rational behavior, you take the greater of itemized deductions or the standard deduction. And under the Senate bill, we saw about 30% of Vermonters itemizing in the, you know, currently dropping to close to 10%. That's a, you know, 20% of Vermont filers no longer itemizing and therefore no longer encountering that after tax or that kind of net cost of a deduction to VPR, for instance. So, you know, this is one of those areas that's behavioral. I think tax practitioners would probably be in a better position to talk about how much of a motivator it is, you know, particularly at the higher income or at the itemizer level. But I think there's no doubt there will be some effect. And but no, I haven't heard directly from charitable organizations. It really stands to reason that we're going to see some impact here.
And Rick, in terms of planning now, you've got a couple more days left in December. Is this a time for people who are thinking about making charitable donations before the end of 2017 for itemization purposes to do so?
It is, and there's two reasons. A short while ago, we talked about prepaying property taxes and income taxes. If you're an itemizer, you definitely want to consider prepaying your 2018 charitable contributions for really two reasons. Number one is that it might be the difference of getting zero benefit if you're under that $24,000 exemption in 2018 and getting a benefit in 2017. The other reason you want to consider doing that is tax rates are higher in 2017. So that same contribution saves you more money in 2017. So specifically, if you have one organization like VPR or your church or synagogue or school that you make your largest contribution every year, you might want to just put them on notice. Hey, folks, I'm sending you a check now. This is my 2018 contribution. Don't be soliciting me again in 2018, but hopefully that will save you a bunch of taxes by prepaying those.
Okay, so that's what you mean by prepaying. I mean, technically,
right,
it would be on your 2017 bill, but you tell the organization, think of this as my 2018, but technically it's 2017.
Right, maybe prepaying. It's because you don't have to make that payment, but if in your mind you're going to pay a certain amount every year, pay your 2018 and 2017 and double up.
Got it. Okay. So we got a note from Elaine who says, I'm wondering what the state will recommend for changes to state tax. If you itemized before and claimed exemptions and no longer benefit from itemizing, are you likely to have a higher taxable income?
Rick mentioned at the beginning of the program how there's so many moving parts here that it's really it's different for each individual, and that's really true as far as what you're – but it is also true that federal taxable income – we think statewide in the aggregate, again, that's not what you owe, but federal taxable income to which the tax rate applies at the federal level. We do expect there potentially to be some statewide upward pressure in that. So across all income groups, that starting point of Vermont tax being federal taxable income, we do think that may be going up. As far as how it affects individual cohorts of folks, it really depends on household size, age, whether you own or rent, how many children you have. It really varies. So it's kind of hard to answer a question like that.
But at its most simplistic level, if somebody is anticipating seeing a tax break on the federal side, the Vermont side, you might actually see a little bit of an uptick.
Potentially. By no means would it be an uptick that would wash out the federal benefit in most cases. Across the board, I'm fairly confident, saying that most Vermonters are going to be paying less on their federal tax bill under this new plan, at least till 2025 when they all expire, most of the individual provisions. And then on the Vermont end, I think it's also fair to say there's going to be a robust discussion on the impact on the Vermont calculation. Remember, this is all aside from a couple things we've mentioned already, this is all going into effect for tax year 2018 at the individual level.
Let's go to Steve, who's calling in from Burlington. Hi, Steve. Go right ahead.
Okay. Well, I was just wondering what the guests feel about the impact of the bill on affordable rental housing. I'm not a fan of the new tax proposal, but it seems that many renters who couldn't take advantage of itemizing because they don't have a mortgage and they don't pay property taxes, now we're going to get a much bigger standard deduction, and it might mean they're able to stretch their income and housing might be more affordable to them. Am I wrong about that?
Steve, thanks for the call. I've been hearing a lot of questions about, is buying a house going to be less affordable for people under this bill? But here's Steve's question about, is this advantageous for renters who now might be able to save a little bit of money to actually buy a house? What do you think, Rick?
Again, it's hard to generalize because I don't know your specific situation, but if you're not itemizing, for example, it depends on how many people are in your family because your standard deduction is going up, but your exemptions of $4,050 per person in your family is going away. But if you're, say, a family of four and you're married, it probably will be more beneficial and it will reduce your taxes, which leaves you more cash to do with however you want to spend it or save it.
We have a note from Carrie who says, I have a question about the pass-through changes for businesses like LLCs. Are there restrictions on the kinds of businesses that will be eligible for the 20% deduction? Let's talk about LLCs and pass-through businesses. Rick, you're saying you want this one.
Yeah. again, the rules are very complicated. And this was one of those rules like state income tax that changed by the hour. But here's where we ended up. There's going to be a 20% deduction for qualifying income for certain pass-through entities. And let me define what a pass-through entity is. A pass-through entity is any type of partnership, including an LLC. It's an S corporation, and it's also a sole proprietorship. So you don't need to rent out and form a company. And I'm going to oversimplify it, but there's all sorts of limitations. I mean, the rules just go on and on and on. But overall, it's now a 20% deduction of a qualified business. So if you make $100 in a qualified business, you get a $20 deduction and you're taxed at $80 at your ordinary income rates. And what that means is the maximum rate's 35%. So with this 20% deduction, it equals 29-point-something%. Then the caller said, are there some businesses that this does not apply to? And the answer is yes. Unfortunately, accounting professions or other most service professions. But then at the last minute, they said, even if you're a service organization, if your taxable income is under $315,000, you still get the 20%. And if it's from 315 to 415, there's a phase out, and income over $415,000, you don't get any benefit of that 20%. But it's only for service organizations. So what the Congress and the president tried to do, and we haven't even mentioned this, the biggest tax cut of this entire bill is the corporate rate going from 35 to 21%.
Which we should say is a permanent change.
Which is a permanent change. They wanted to try to equalize, especially in Vermont, where we don't have very many publicly traded companies in Vermont. Most businesses do business as pass-through entities. They tried to equalize it, and that's why they came up with this 20% deduction.
Let's go to Lori in West Berlin, New Hampshire. Hi, Lori. You're on the air.
Hi, it's Lori from Westmoreland, New Hampshire. Yes, thank you. I wanted clarification on what you spoke about before. The taxes that we can prepay, for example, our quarterly tax, we own a farm, it's due January 15th, but then I also heard somebody say that you're under the new law, you're not allowed to prepay taxes from 2018. So I wasn't sure what was allowed and what was not allowed.
Sure. Rick, can you clarify you were talking about that?
I sure can. That January 15th payment, even though you're paying it in 2018, is for tax year 2017. So you should definitely consider prepaying that payment. But for example, let's say your annual taxes, I'll just make up a number, $25,000. You can't make a payment December 31st for an extra $25,000 for your 2018 taxes. But your fourth quarter is for 17. By all means, pay it in December.
All right. So Bobby from Greensboro says, does the bill include language that says employers will no longer be required to contribute to their employees' Social Security? This could reduce the total amount contributed by employer and employee.
I hadn't heard that, Jane.
Okay.
It does not.
Let's go to Ann, who's calling in from Richmond. Hi, Ann. Go right ahead.
Hi. I'm calling with 2 points. One is I'm concerned about the effect of the new law on folks who get Medicare and Medicaid and are living in nursing homes or who are disabled and the effect on their care, whether the tax bill says it directly or if it has an effect from the fact that that there's going to be less money coming in. And the second point I'd like to make is there a way or could we consider a way for those of us who really don't agree with this tax bill to give back some of what we're getting? Because, you know, in Vermont, we kind of take care of our own. And there are lots of us, I think, who feel like we don't need this and others could benefit.
And when you say give back, you mean not to a charitable organization. You mean give back to the government in some way?
Yeah, or maybe our congressional delegation could come up with some kind of a fund we could contribute to that. Things like Meals on Wheels or services for the disabled then could apply to get money, something.
Anne, interesting question. Commissioner.
A couple things come to mind with that suggestion. I mean, there's certainly some opportunity on the Vermont tax calculation to look at what the effects are and make adjustments in Vermont. That'll be a discussion with the governor and the legislature. A couple quick examples. You have three or four options of charitable contributions to make on the Vermont form. If we identified significant areas of vulnerability due to tax reform here in Vermont, it's the potential would be to create an avenue like that, you know, whether it's Meals on Wheels, as you gave an example of. But certainly that's something the governor has been clear with extended cabinet about is, you know, identify the areas where this has issues with growing the economy, making Vermont more affordable and protecting the vulnerable. Let me know what they are and let's come up with a plan. So that's what we'll be doing over the next several weeks.
All right. So it's Kai Samson you need to get in touch with then if you want that extra line on the tax form. Lots still to figure out from this tax bill. As we said, it hasn't even been signed yet. Rick pointed out may not be signed before the end of the year. Other issues that we didn't even talk about, the breweries. I know this is what everybody's been waiting the whole show for, but it sounds like for the first 60,000 barrels produced for businesses that make less than 2 million barrels a year, they're going to get a break on excise taxes, a big boon for Vermont breweries and distilleries. Lots of questions still remain. Last one here that we can squeeze in from John, are capital gains taxes affected under this new tax system, Rick?
They're not. And not only that, there's preferred rates for capital gains and qualifying dividends. We could do a whole nother show on what has not changed, but those lower tax rates, the 3.8% Obamacare tax, that survived too. So both those tax rates have not changed at all.
All right. You heard it here first. Clear your schedules, guys. We're going to do this every week. Rick Wolfish is a CPA and tax partner at Gallagher Flynn and Company in Burlington. Gallagher Flynn and Company is a VPR underwriter. Kai Samson is the commissioner of the Vermont Department of Taxes. Thanks very much to both of you. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
You're listening to Vermont Edition.